Welcome back, folks. It's another episode of the Hoop Talks podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Robson. Sean Woodley is my co-host. Sean, how did you enjoy your vacation from me?
It was wonderful. Actually, I missed you, buddy. It was a weird week not doing a podcast, talking about nonsense. I'm glad you're back. How was the United States?
It was pretty wonderful. Yeah. I got to go down and watch the UConn women's program in depth for a full weekend. Got to hang out with Kia Nurse, who is a wonderful young lady. Very fun, very great basketball player. Definitely the future of basketball in this country. And just seeing like 12,000 people out for two women's basketball games was very cool to see.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I currently work for McMaster Basketball. I was at the games last weekend against Laurentian and Nipissing.
And there were not 12,000.
Not 12,000 people. We're working on it. I would venture to guess that if Cadre Gray was playing in every single game, more people would come out to watch U Sports basketball because goddammit, that guy's good.
And he did drop 37 and 35 on consecutive nights this weekend.
We've already lost a bunch of people talking about U Sports basketball, but whatever. This is This isn't NBA talks. This is Hoop Talks.
I was going to say, I'm going to rebrand this as part of our CUSN podcast network and just double up.
Speaking of college basketball, I came across a NCAA game that I liked yesterday.
Ooh, what were you watching?
It was the one where Colin Sexton almost won 3-on-5.
that was incredible. So this was like an hour of Alabama sports. I don't know how these people in Tuscaloosa survived. The football team lost the Iron Bowl at Auburn.
Yeah.
And then, after two fights, Bama is down to three guys in this basketball game against Minnesota at the Barclays Center, where we know just bad things happen on the basketball court. And yet, Alabama almost won the game.
Yeah. Weren't they down like 15 or something when they went to three guys and they only lost by five? I only caught like the Sexton clips from this game. I didn't really watch.
Yeah,
the game,
it was really interesting because Minnesota had the 5-on-3 advantage, but they really didn't know what to do on offense because Bama just sort of played a triangle with one guy low, Sexton up top, and the other guy floating back and forth between the corners. But Minnesota couldn't really drive. They didn't want to drive and try to draw a foul, so they were just hoisting threes that were open, and they missed about half of them. And then Alabama coming down the other way was just driving right at guys and drawing fouls.
Colin Sexton rules, man. I'm very excited to watch him again maybe in the tournament and then see him in the NBA next year.
He did tear up your Carlton Ravens in the summer. So get ready for that.
Carlton's in Hamilton this coming weekend. I'm very excited to, root for them, I suppose.
you're going to root for Carlton while on the mic for McMaster.
On the payroll for McMaster.
Insider agent.
That was a stipulation of when I took the job. I was like, as long as you're okay being an unabashed homer when Carlton comes through town, then I'm happy to take the job.
See, now that would be pretty lame, which transitions us very well
to
this week's
topic.
Oh my
God, Jesus Christ, back on your bullshit. Oh, my God. All right. Continue on with the segue.
Yeah, so I believe it was it Monday or Tuesday? It was after the Thunder-Warriors game that Wanda Durant came out the next day and was complaining that everyone needs to get over her son, Kevin, fighting with Russell Westbrook, and everyone just needs to move on from it.
Yeah.
Because what's this? Just another story in the long line of the Durant clan complaining about being hated on by everybody, which I'm a little bit tired of.
Yeah, the thing that got me was after the game, obviously the little dust-up between him and Westbrook happened, and then he was asked about it because that's what reporters are supposed to ask about, and then he got all like, did you watch the game on the reporter? And it was like, I don't really know how to describe Kevin Durant in that he just wants to, to a certain extent, he's relatable in that he wants to just go about his business and sort of not have all this burden that's, you know, sort of put upon him as being like one of the best NBA players in the world and one of the best players on the best team in the world. Like, I get that to a certain degree, but also just like kind of understand where you are in terms of your status and in terms of like your position and just kind of like address people as such and sort of talk to just to sort of say, like, oh, just, like, don't worry about it, it didn't happen. Like, that's just absurd. It's just not how it works. Like, obviously, there's something going on between those two. It manifested itself in what happened in that game. And for him to just, like, slough it off, like, oh, it was nothing, and why are you asking about this? Like, when it's a job, when it's the reporter's job to actually do that, it just kind of comes off as petty to me and just, like, very insecure. And I don't know. It's I've always kind of been a Kevin Durant supporter, but... Like, yeah, I didn't care that he went to the Warriors or whatever. That's fine. You root against him. That's cool, too. I didn't really care either way. But just, like, the insecurity from him is just so incredibly lame. And I don't really know, like, why it is that way. And, like, again, there's a human element to it that I kind of get and sort of relate to. But at the same time, it's just, like, why? It's not necessary for him to be this insecure about stuff.
Incredibly so. I mean, Kevin Durant, like... You made the decision to leave. You're a public figure. You leave a small market to go to the champions. Obviously, you're going to be hated on. The fact that you still want respect from the people of Oklahoma City, which I do think they respect the respectability and the success he brought to that franchise, but he ripped their heart out to go to the team that had just beat them to get to the NBA Finals. So that's the first thing. I don't know how, as an NBA player, you can think that a move you make yourself, it doesn't matter to anyone else. When the whole sport is an entertainment, it's a business. We know that. Mm-hmm. People watch the games to feel an emotional connection because that's what sports are. If you expect everyone to love you no matter what you're doing, and then you keep creating these things, and you're the one that initiates every single thing with Westbrook, especially like last night when that game happened on the court, he was the one to get in his face. He was the one to go nose to nose. The fact that you think everyone should just kind of bow down and accept that that's how it is and that you're best friends with them, it's clear you're not. Russ does not like you. Russ does not like that you left. And why do you keep trying to sell people on the fact that everything's fine and you should get no criticism for anything that you've ever done?
Yeah, it's like kind of respect the intelligence of the people who are your fans and like...
Exactly.
At least acknowledge... Like Kobe and Shaq acknowledged that they hated each other and that was great. That was wonderful. The fact that KD doesn't acknowledge this Westbrook thing and that, again, he kind of just, like, dismisses it pretty bluntly when he's asked about it is, I don't get it. And I guess this kind of, you know, fits into every conversation about lame NBA players has to start with Kevin Durant because of everything he's done. He's got the burner accounts, which on some level are hilarious and again, relatable. That's the thing. There's, like, a thin veneer of relatability to Kevin Durant that I kind of appreciate because... You know, I do think sometimes it's unfair that, you know, NBA players, just because they're so damn talented, get all this, you know, extra criticism and scorn and all this crap thrown upon them. And maybe they don't want to be. Maybe just like it was a way for them to make money and sort of, you know, make a life for themselves. Maybe they don't want all of that, you know, extra stuff. And I totally appreciate that. You know, there are people like Larry Sanders who didn't like playing basketball. It was just a way for him to make money. So he did it. And then he didn't want everything else that came along with it. And I totally appreciate that and kind of get it on some level. But... I guess when you're at Durant's level, it kind of comes out hollow, I suppose. And it makes you seem a lot lamer than, you know, you probably... Here's the thing about Kevin Durant is, like, every great NBA player has, like, has a crazy-ass fan base who will defend them to the teeth no matter what, right? There's, like, LeBron stans, there's Kobe stans, there's Westbrook stans, there's Derrick Rose stans, even though he can't play basketball anymore and is a giant piece of shit. There's not really, like, a big Kevin Durant faction on Twitter. Maybe Warriors fans now, but, like, that's about it. And I'm not even sure Warriors fans like Kevin Durant all that much. Like, they definitely don't like him as much as they like Steph and Draymond and Klay Thompson. And it's just kind of fascinating to me that a guy who is at times maybe the best player on Earth, at least, like, a top three player at the very least, you know, the fact that he doesn't have that crazy, rabid faction of fans defending him at every turn... I think it's kind of telling, and I don't know, like, if it matters ultimately. Like, he's amazing, he's going to win a bunch of titles with the Warriors, and maybe it doesn't matter at the end of the day, and maybe we won't remember sort of his insecurities when he's done his career, we'll just look at the rings or whatever, but there's just something about Kevin Durant that's, like, inherently unlikable, and I'm not really sure, outside of just the insecurity, like, what it exactly is. I can't really put my finger on it, but it's definitely real, and I think it's kind of, it's strange considering the sort of, you know, the fervor that most people argue in favor of their favorite stars, you know, when it comes to the NBA. Like, it's weird that he doesn't quite have that same level of support from, you know, like a crazy-ass section of the fans.
Yeah, and I think that even though you say maybe we look back and we forget all this, like we forget how much Michael Jordan was an asshole to his teammates and stuff like that when you look back at the rings, I think with the way that Durant has gone about the past 2 years, no matter how you look back upon his legacy, it's going to be a little bit tainted because of all the extra stuff, whether it was going to the Warriors to get the ring because he couldn't do it himself, quote unquote. And just all of the stuff around him, the constant complaining about the negative attention and how he wants everyone to like him and the burner accounts. I think that when people look back upon his career, they're going to go, well, this guy, yeah, he was an incredible scorer, but he went to a team he could just kind of coast along with. He didn't ever really feel comfortable there, it seems like, because he's still going out of his way to defend himself and say, oh, I love this Warriors environment. Everyone here is so great. It's so awesome. Yet he still is fighting people who go at him on Twitter and whatever. And then your point about guys who want to try to avoid criticism, I totally get it. And as someone who covers university sports, I don't like going at guys and criticizing them because they're just students like myself.
And ultimately, but it's a fucking game, right? Like,
that's,
who cares?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, as an NBA player, it's just you make millions of dollars, and that's what comes with it. Everyone has jobs with side effects they don't like. And even though it can cross the line at times for guys in the public eye, that's you just got to deal with it. And as one of the best five players in the league who's making $100 million in endorsements and whatever and winning titles, the fact that someone can get at you on Twitter, a random person from who knows Iowa, to say you suck and you feel the need to create a fake account to go at them is just incredibly weird to me.
Yeah, but again, that's the sort of, I mean, I people who criticize me on Twitter, I'm not going to go make a burner account to go at them. I'm probably just going to like respond to them, or I'll just mute them or whatever. But like, I do feel like I hate when people criticize me on Twitter. It sucks. It blows. And like when it's on a high level scale, like yourself, like imagine like the top, you know, he sends a tweet that's like, you know, I don't know, like 1,000-something retweets or whatever, and the top comment or the top reply is something like shitting on him. I can understand why that would kind of fester. Like there's like a small amount of Kevin Durant that I totally appreciate, but I guess it's just the way he goes about it. Is there anything that he could do to redeem himself in your eyes to make him seem less lame?
He's got to leave the Warriors, I think,
yeah,
at first. Or because he's never going to be the top dog on that team. That will be Steph's team and Draymond's team through and through.
Yeah.
No matter what. And I mean, I think the only way he could redeem himself is if he goes, I don't know, I wouldn't say back to OKC now with the roster makeup they have there, but if he was to go to like a DC or someone and he could get the LeBron homecoming redemption narrative, maybe. But I mean, LeBron filled that villain role with the Heat perfectly well, and Durant has not filled the villain role at all, so I don't know if the sympathy would be there. Would he choose to go to a different team like it was for LeBron going back to Cleveland?
Well, even LeBron, though, he wasn't really embraced as the villain. It wasn't until he kind of embraced that he wasn't a villain that people kind of started to like him again. It was kind of a different thing. But
yeah, I mean, that his story arc has kind of gone up and down multiple times, right?
Yeah, so, yeah.
With Durant, yeah, I don't think there's anything that can redeem him unless he just kind of... He's even admitted to stuff like the burner accounts, and people just rag on him for it more. So
yeah. Yeah.
I don't really know what his plan is to if he feels the need to redeem himself and try to get back into favorable sense with NBA fans. I don't know if it's possible.
What would he have to say on a Bill Simmons podcast to make him maybe that's his avenue for redeeming himself? What if he was just to shit on the Celtics for an entire hour with Bill Simmons? I might have some respect for him after that.
No, Kevin, what the fuck, man? What are you doing? Can't believe you would do this to me. I brought you into my home. Tate, cut him, Tate. Bill Simmons, one of my most favorite impressions today.
Oh, boy. The Tate chat was pretty good. Okay, if Kevin Durant, I think we kind of agree, is the lamest NBA player.
Yeah, well, you brought up the Celtics, and I think we all know who number two is, Mr. Philosopher himself, Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. Here's the thing, is Kyrie Irving's really fun to watch play basketball.
Yes, I can get behind that.
It's whenever he opens his mouth that I just roll my eyes, because I don't think he knows what he's saying. He might be calculated or whatever. I feel like he just kind of makes shit up when he says stuff, though. And like the flat earth stuff is like funny to an extent, but also like think of the amount of like young kids who probably idolize Kyrie Irving who are going to grow up just being like, yeah, the earth's flat. Like that's not a good thing. I know it's like a joke, and like because it's such obvious fucking delusion that the earth is flat, I know it's a joke and whatever, but like, kids are really dumb and impressionable. And if you have an entire generation of Celtics fans, kids, or NBA fan kids growing up thinking that the NBA is, that the earth is flat because Kyrie Irving says so, like, that's not a good thing. I'm not sure it's like all that detrimental, but it's not good. I don't know. It's just, Kyrie Irving is incredibly lame. He kind of just makes stuff up on the spot. I appreciate the fact that he went to Boston and sort of did his own thing. I mean, he got traded to Boston. He didn't really, you know, engineer that himself. But the fact that he wanted to go off and sort of separate himself from LeBron, who we'll get to later in this conversation of lame players, like, I appreciate that and respect that. But just the all the stuff that comes with Kyrie Irving and kind of the weird sort of infectious disease that his, like, weird-ass sort of philosophical meanderings seem to... like, it seems like everyone else on the team is kind of picking them up. Like, Jaylen Brown is starting to say weird shit. He's always been kind of a weird cat anyway, but like, it's just kind of infesting the entire team and just making the entire Celtics experience that much less likable. And, you know, it's already pretty goddamn miserable, but I don't know. It's, I'm having a hard time articulating exactly why I think Kyrie Irving is lame, because when you talk about it and say, like, oh, he thinks the earth is flat, like, who cares ultimately? But at the same time, like, it's ridiculous and stupid, and like, he's had so many outs in which he could have just said, yeah, I've been playing around this entire time. But he keeps, like, doubling down on it, and it's just irritating to me as someone who, you know, we have enough people just, like, peddling bullshit in the world right now and, like, coming up with just, like, fake-ass conspiracy theories and all this shit. And it's not at all – all that stuff is way more important than what a basketball player says. But I just – it kind of just feeds into this whole – just lunacy and stupidity of the goddamn time we live in. And maybe I'm taking this too far and criticizing him too much for, and like, looking at it on a much bigger scale than it is, but like, it's fucking stupid. The earth is not flat. Stop saying it is, and stop coming up with all these dumbass, like, fake deep quotes that are just, I don't know. He's the fake deepest player, right?
Yeah. And yeah. I kind of appreciate, I thought he did say last year that he was kind of in on the joke and was making it about how whatever an athlete says can spread like wildfire.
No, but then he's doubled down on it again this year. Like,
so, I mean, it's, I don't know if it's all an inside joke and he uses it for motivation and the Celtics can rally behind that, more power to them. If you're a Celtics fan, I'd buy a shirt that says the earth's flat. Fine, whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of like, especially the part about the kids really hits home, because I know after reading some stuff on Nike that Kyrie's shoes and apparel are the most popular among, like, young kids.
Yeah.
So I think that that could be harmful if those kids really do believe that Kyrie is gospel. And I mean, you see a lot of videos on the internet of Kyrie giving his shoes and jerseys to kids right after the game. So he obviously has that connection. And I mean, if you feel he should take it more seriously in the way he's affecting kids' lives, then that's one thing. I appreciate that he went out on a limb, though, and wanted to leave LeBron, and it's worked out for him right now. I just think you're right. He's lame in the way he talks about things, and I'm just kind of finished with his whole fake deep act. Just play basketball. We'll see how you do in the playoffs. I don't know if the Celtics are for real yet.
Yeah. Oh, well, there certainly haven't been any columns written about it, so we'll have to wait till those start filtering.
Chris Mannix at the Vertical. Anthony Davis on the way.
Oh, my God.
Your favorite.
I think if he played for any other team, I would think he's much less lame, probably.
100%. If he would have been on the Knicks right now, I'd be having a great time.
It would be awesome, yeah. But, yeah, the whole Celtics sort of discourse filters into everything, and it's just exhausting. Yeah, we can leave it with Kyrie there. I got a little too heated maybe about his flat.
That was, I mean, you covered all the bases with that rant, so.
No, but, like, again, it's stupid, but there are a lot of stupid things going on in the world right now, and for one of the most popular basketball players in the world to be peddling, like, one of the things that a lot of the stupid people like to peddle, and, like, not acknowledging that he's joking about it or, like, offering any sort of, I don't know, maybe I don't want him joining Facebook groups that are, like, Flat Earther Facebook groups and posting shit and memes and whatever, but, like, at least back it up. Like, instead of just saying shit and, like, not really saying whether or not you believe it, but, like, kind of doubling down on you believing it, like, I don't know. I'm not going anywhere with this, so let's move on to the next lame player, because, fuck, Kyrie makes me mad.
All right, well, the next name I'll throw into the ring here, we'll wait on LeBron.
Okay.
What about Chris Paul? Everyone's favorite sub-6-foot screaming dad of a point guard.
I love Chris Paul. I don't know. I've always been kind of, like, when people hated those Clippers teams, I endlessly loved them, and I will always be a Chris Paul guy. I don't think he's particularly lame. I just think he's like dad lame in that he's like, I don't think he's like outwardly the way he carries himself. I don't think that's lame. I just think he's just like a dad at this point. And so lameness kind of seeps into his character, but I don't think he's like, I don't know. What do you think he does that is like particularly lame?
Well, he's retired the Cliff Paul commercials, which is pretty lame because that was it was a good ongoing gig. I think it's just the fact that like he has berated teammates, and now you've kind of seen it before the Clippers got into injuries. They were having a lot more fun playing basketball. Blake looked like he was free. DeAndre looked like he was free. And it was always just the Clippers complaining and getting on the refs. And I think that was kind of what drove me up the wall a little bit, because I'm all for guys complaining about calls. It makes the games more interesting. But the Clippers were every single whistle going at the officials for some reason or another. And I mean, a lot of that's probably Doc, who I think might be on the hot seat now. Ooh.
Yeah, the Clippers have won two straight. Everything's fine.
But yeah, without Chris, I think that team's just gotten a lot more fun. And I mean, we haven't seen really Chris play with the Rockets yet, and they've looked fine without him. So hopefully he doesn't drag Harden down. But yeah, just quit bitching and play basketball and get out of the second round, because Kyle Lowry's been further than you. So Kyle Lowry greater than Chris Paul.
Yeah, well, that's my whole thing with like the Chris Paul discussion, is it always comes down to that playoff thing, and I think that's dumb, because like there's weird shit, like there's nothing you can do about Corey Brewer and Josh Smith hitting a million threes in a quarter. Like I don't care how good Chris Paul is, you can't just like stop that cosmic shit from happening. It's just gonna happen. You know, obviously there was that set where he had all those turnovers against the Thunder in a playoff series. That was obviously not ideal, and it kind of led them out of that playoffs as well. But I don't know. I think the conversation about Chris Paul is kind of, it's like the ultimate sort of argument against like the whole rings conversation, because like Chris Paul is undeniably incredible, and his numbers over the course of his career, and just like the teams he's been on and how they just always win 50 games, like there's that matters. And just because he can't, whatever, for whatever reason, his teams can't make it out of the second round of the playoffs, which is such an arbitrary sort of cutoff point. It's tiresome to me, because like, you know, it's not just Chris Paul. Like look at those Clippers teams over the past 5 years. Like they could never build a bench, and that always was the reason they sucked. They were always incredible with the starting five in, then the bench would come in and Big Baby Davis would squander points, and Chris Paul would kind of be left sort of with all the criticism directed at him, even though those Clippers teams weren't built properly to, you know, have playoff success. Like you have to hit on first and second round picks when they're late in the draft. You have to sign smart free agents. You can't just sign a bunch of dudes who beat the Celtics or played for the Celtics in the late aughts. Like it has to be like five guys are great, and you want to have a good starting five and whatever. And Chris Paul was incredible, but like it can only take you so far. And they were such a disaster after guy number five or six that, you know, I don't think it's entirely fair to heap all that criticism of Chris Paul for the Clippers onto him. And, you know, the whole thing of like, oh, they play more fun without him or whatever, like maybe that's true. I also think maybe the issue with them was more just like a conflicting styles kind of thing, more than it was like, oh, they hate playing with Chris Paul and therefore don't play harder or whatever it is. Like, I just think Blake Griffin and Chris Paul were a tough fit, because Blake Griffin needs the ball in his hands to be really effective, and we've seen that this season. And like it just never made sense really with both of those guys on the floor, and they never had a starting small forward until the last season where Luke Richard Baamute was pretty good. But like, I don't know, I kind of think the criticism of Chris Paul is unfair, and yeah, maybe he's just like a lame dad at this point, but I don't know, he's also done a lot for the Players Association, and you know, he's a big sort of champion of the players and labor and all that stuff, and maybe he's kind of geared the CBA to help him and his superstar buddies, but that's also raised the floor of what everyone else is getting paid and what their rights are within the CBA as well. So I think that is a thing that Chris Paul has done that's very, very, very not lame. So I think overall, I don't find Chris Paul to be a particularly lame player. I just think he's kind of a dad at this point, and dads have their quirks, but I think overall, like I think he's pretty chill. I don't know.
Okay, who's you got for your next name?
So this is a guy that I've kind of gone back and forth with over the last few years, and I think I'm kind of leaning towards him not actually being lame. It's Damian Lillard. Okay. He's always kind of this guy who, whenever he gets left off the All-Star team, which is an annual occurrence at this point, he'll like drop a diss track or something, or he'll just like tweet about it and complain for not making the All-Star team and in a very tough conference. And I've always kind of found that to be kind of lame. But kind of talking to Blazers people people who follow the team or whatever, and just kind of reading about Damian Lillard, he kind of seems like a wonderful person to play with, to be a teammate with, and I don't know, I kind of respect him for that, and I don't think he's very, like, maybe he's outwardly lame, but I think within the team construct, he's, like, adored by his teammates and coaches and fans and whatever, because of sort of the galvanizing effect he has on that Blazers team. I mean, you look what happened after LaMarcus Aldridge, who, you know, maybe he's lame Marcus Aldridge. I don't know. Maybe he's the lamest person from that team. Like, when he left, you know, that team was supposed to suck, and Lillard kind of powered them to a playoff appearance, a second round playoff out, and, you know, he's made them really exciting the last couple of seasons. He's playing out of his mind right now, too. Maybe he's not as lame as we all thought, and maybe the diss tracks and the sort of the rap albums are less lame. I mean, he's actually, like, for NBA rapper standards, he's actually pretty good compared.
Yeah, I mean, he actually has committed real time to rapping, which we can't hate on, because it's nice that he's pursuing his other passions.
Yeah, like, he's actually skilled at that. And maybe, like, the, you know, the hand-wringing over not making All-Star teams is a little sort of heavy-handed and lame, but ultimately, I think he's kind of redeemed himself for me the last couple seasons with his play and just sort of the reputation that you hear he has around the Blazers. So I think he's gone from being lame Lillard to just Dame and being very cool.
I agree with you. And I love watching the way he plays. I think it kind of channels his inner underdog story. He played at Weber State. Like, he came up from nowhere. That's a really cool story. I don't think that's lame. It's being able to fight and dog from low major college basketball to one of the best NBA players around.
Yeah.
And coming out of Oakland, too. He's a cool dude. I think that the rap, you're right, it's good. And even though he's in the West and he'll complain about not getting an All-Star bid, how much do All-Star games really matter, right? We don't really care, as long as you're a devoted fan that doesn't just drop in for the playoffs in the All-Star game. I think that people recognize how good he is around the league. So I can agree with you that he's not pretty lame. I do want to go back to the Bay and get your take on who's more lame between Steph and Draymond.
I think Steph for sure.
Really? See, I think both are very lame, but I kind of waffle on Draymond being the worst one.
I think Draymond is actually cool. I have no problem with Draymond at all.
See, I think Draymond's far too hypocritical, because he'll come out and he'll talk shit to whoever. He'll go after guys like Paul Pierce and just absolutely annihilate them. But then you read the stuff about, like, him crying in the parking lot post game and calling Durant, and then he always complains when other guys go at him, and he says, you need to stop talking, we beat you. But that's your whole game, Draymond. Before you guys were champions, you used to just go at people unabashed. So you can't really have it both ways in my book.
I guess, honestly, it feels like there wasn't that much before in Draymond's career where he wasn't a champion, right? Like, his, you know, rise to stardom, it kind of came with them winning a title that season. So I feel like he's got a lot of grounds to sort of back up his shit talk. And when he's like, oh, look at the scoreboard or whatever, we beat you. Like, he's very right in that, because they obliterate everybody. And he's done some dumb shit in the past, and he pretty much lost that finals for his team by getting suspended. But I don't know. I kind of like his shit-talking and his demeanor. I don't really have an issue with it. Steph is just like, Steph is so cookie-cutter, it feels like. That's the lame part for me. Like,
I do. League, I hate listening to Steph Curry talk.
Yeah, Steph Curry is very much, and I mean, okay, this is, you know, he's not, I'm not trying to equate him with hockey players, because hockey players are tone-deaf as shit.
A whole new class.
Yeah, they're tone-deaf as shit, and they don't actually speak out on political issues and things like that. And, like, Steph Curry has outwardly called out Donald Trump, which is fucking awesome and not lame at all. And he's used his platform for good in that regard. But he just kind of, he is very kind of reserved, and he, for NBA standards, he is hockey player-ish in that everything he says is so crafted, and he's not trying to offend anybody. And that bothers me a little bit, because I think the best part of the NBA is that people aren't scared to bother people with what they say. So that's kind of my one gripe with Steph. I don't find the Warriors to be, like, all that lame, though. I like Steph's style of play. Like, that's very much not a lame style of play. And, you know, I guess just, like, the cookie cutterness of him is kind of I do think the whole, like, rise from, like, his rise to stardom is kind of overhyped, in that, like, oh, this guy, this guy who couldn't shoot. Like, dude, you had an NBA father. You had everything growing up. You were shooting on NBA courts as a kid. Like, I'm not surprised at his rise to stardom. So that's the lame part for me, too, is that he's kind of branded as, like, this underdog. Like, you mentioned Damian Lillard. Like, he's an actual legitimate underdog. LeBron James, was like born as an underdog, like the way he grew up and his situation, and the fact that he turned that into just unmatched superstardom is incredible. Whereas Steph Curry kind of had things, like he had the trajectory planned out for him as a kid. He, you know, full credit to him for, you know, making good on it and sort of capitalizing on his situation, but the whole like rise of Steph Curry is kind of overblown to me too. So that's a part of a lame, that's kind of a lame arc within his story as well. You know, there are definitely elements to Steph that I don't think are lame, but I think the parts that are lame are definitely more lame than Draymond's, and they are just like overall pretty lame in, by NBA standards.
Ah, totally, I agree with you. Like, he went to Davidson. Yeah, it's not a big school, but you had the NBA father, and you took that Davidson team through multiple NCAA tournaments. You were recognized as one of the best players in college basketball. It's not like you got into the league by luck.
Yeah, it's not like, he was a second-round pick, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, he had the ankle issues, but I don't think that should be an entire, like, underdog story birthed from just a weak ankle. Yeah. So I agree with you on that. Now, you brought up LeBron. Do we want to have that conversation?
I guess we can. He kind of, for me...
I unabashed love LeBron.
Yeah, like, me too. I think I like his passive aggressiveness on social media. I'm a big fan of that.
It's perfect.
I don't really think LeBron is lame. I think he has to be sort of, you know, deliberate with what he says, and everything he says is so planned out. You can tell he's not spontaneous by any means when he says something. Like, it's absolutely planned out, and he knows exactly what he's doing. But I think it's very admirable how he's managed his superstardom as the most famous basketball player, maybe the most famous athlete in the world. And he's got like a squeaky clean image, and he's got to maintain that, of course. So I understand why sometimes he's a little bit more crafted in what he says, but like, I love the passive aggressiveness on social media. I love that he kind of rips apart his teammates with, you know, very sort of cryptic messages. I don't know. Maybe that's lame. Maybe if I was on his team, I would think differently. Maybe if I was being told that I had to fit in, not fit out, I would feel differently about it. But I don't think LeBron James is lame. I think he's very much like Chris Paul, actually, and just like he's a dad. So he's got dad tendencies. But overall, I don't think like the way he carries himself is lame.
Oh, totally. And I think that now that he's bought all in on the dad persona, and he's sort of in on the joke that he's an old man now, makes him all the more cool in my book when he just posts his videos of him drinking wine or shaving his head or whatever, and him and D-Wade talking about being old. It's a good presence online for me, and I think that makes him more likable than he's ever been before in the past. And now we talked about him being an underdog from birth on, and then he kind of got away from that when he went to the Heat and teamed up, but now he's back to, I think, the ultimate underdog, especially with this Cavs team.
Yeah, for sure,
dragging them wherever they're gonna go.
I'm very excited for him to win MVP this year.
I think that's going to be the way, because it was a couple days ago where NBA Twitter was shooting off about James Harden should win MVP but won't because he's unliked by most people, which I think is the case.
Yeah. This whole Kyrie MVP shit has to stop, right?
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's like an insane thing. Mark Stein said he's got to be the leader for MVP after his 47-point game this week where they beat the Mavericks in overtime. Like, congratulations.
And I mean, we hate the Celtics, but I don't think he deserves an MVP award.
Al Horford has been the better player on that. Like, if there's someone who should be in MVP conversations, it's Al Horford on that team. Al Horford's been incredible.
And what has Kyrie done besides score for that team?
Yeah, he hasn't shot very well. Like, he's averaging, like, what, 21-5-5? Like, those are very good numbers, but they're not MVP numbers by any means. Like,
not at all.
Yeah, DeMar DeRozan is, like, dwarfing him in numbers. Like, it's true. Like, he's been very good for that team, but they run like a really crappy offense. I like how this circled back to Kyrie.
Of course. Back to Celtics hate.
And the loathsome Celtics, yeah. Yes. The Kyrie thing is the MVP case for him, it's just not there. It's like the most narrative driven one ever. Like, oh, he goes to the Boston after being on the Cavs with LeBron, and then the Boston wins a bunch of games. Like, That entire win streak was like smoke and mirrors, I think. I'm not saying they're not good, but like winning 16 straight games after like going down against every bad team you play and coming back, like that's not particularly impressive. Just like blow out a bad team maybe, and maybe I'll be more sort of on your MVP trail. But like the fact that Kyrie's getting to pad his stats in crunch time because the Celtics can't play a not close game, that's not particularly impressive to me. So the MVP thing there is done. LeBron's going to win MVP. I'm going to call it now. I think the Cavs have won like 8 straight or 7 in a row now, and they're kind of figuring things out, and LeBron's putting up just absurd numbers. And I'm very excited for LeBron to win his, what, fifth MVP? Fourth?
I think it's his Is it his fourth or his fifth? I don't really keep track of these things very well.
No. We talk so much about the MVP every year, which sucks. Like, it's already, it's like 2 months premature to be talking about
this. Oh, yeah. You shouldn't be until All-Star break that we really begin.
But, no, you got to write the columns, though. You got to get those takes out. but I think he's, yeah, I think, what the hell? How many has he won? I don't know.
Great radio here.
This is a fantastic radio. I don't know how many he's won.
Do you have any off-the-board picks for lame players, guys that aren't stars in the league?
Hassan Whiteside.
All right. What's wrong with my favorite 2K player?
That's the thing. Who gives a shit what your 2K rating is? Like, he's actually, like, I think this is, like, a complex for him where he's, like, actually concerned about what his 2K rating is, and I just find that to be incredibly lame. Like, just don't suck ass at defense and be a non, like, don't be a glorified Andre Drummond, and maybe your 2K rating will be higher, Hassan Whiteside.
Now, okay, so you don't appreciate him hating on his 2K rating, but you say you can appreciate the Kevin Durant human element. So say there was a video game for bloggers, and Sean Woodley was rated a 69.
Jesus Christ.
You think you should be higher than that?
No, I would embrace such a nice rating. I really would.
If there was a blogger video game and the human element of you came out, would you feel as much vitriol towards yourself?
No. First of all, this would be the worst video game in the history of the world. Is this like
a self-serving media thing that ever could happen?
Is this a blogger like basketball game or like a blogger like RPG where like you?
I think it should be an RPG.
You go through your career as a blogger and you just try to like. Oh, now I'm writing for a not shady, dark internet site.
Yes, you've been freelance contracts.
Yeah, you've been bumped up from Deadspin commenter to Deadspin like part-time columnist, or like, and you just follow through your career like that. And you have to do like, typing. You have to do like
make
home
sure
row.
You don't get carpal tunnel. You can't get injuries. Yeah,
like home row typing practice to like
home row. That's a deep cut.
Yeah. What the hell was that? All the right type.
All the right type. Canadian high school staple.
Yes, you got to try that out. And you got to like hone your typing skills on that. You got to like, get like your words per minute up. You try to build sources throughout your entire thing. Like you have to branch off into like doing video work. And I kind of want this game to exist now.
Hey, EA Sports, you can't make NCAA video games anymore, but bloggers will sign over their rights in a hurry.
Yeah. Welcome to that. Welcome to Road to SI, the blogger RPG game.
I think we got a real hit on our hands here.
I mean, people play like general manager mode, like soccer and football games. I don't know why this couldn't also be a thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm addicted to 2K GM mode. In the summers, I just go crazy.
You get like a season where you just go off on like full on hot takes.
Yeah. I think that would be great. That would be in your try to get on TV. That would be a big jump.
Yeah, and like, do you have an agent in this? Like, eventually you get an agent because your blogs are so good that you get an agent to try to sell your blogs elsewhere.
And then you start a website called Grantland, and then that gets shut down. and then you keep your podcasts going with a bunch of just famous people in LA. And
yeah. You have a bunch of friends from back in Boston who you have on to talk bullshit.
Yeah, and then you get roasted for cheering James Young during a draft broadcast, and the guy plays like 200 NBA minutes and scores 15 career points.
Do you have to like harass like outlets to get your freelance like paychecks?
Yes,
like that's a phase of your career.
I think so. I think you have to definitely like make the and you have like the three choices of dialogue you can use, and depending on which one you do is whether you get paid or not.
Yeah, like a whole like arc where you get to write a book. And like finishing the book is like a big accomplishment. You get lots of blogger points for that.
And you go on every podcast to talk about it and plug it.
Yeah. Oh, the podcast aspect of this game would be fantastic.
You would excel on that. You'd have 100 podcast rating due to all of your multiple podcasts.
I didn't even think about ratings for this stuff. So if we're going through, so the ratings would be like, okay, so there's podcast rating.
You got to have writing.
Yeah, there's like your writing chops. There's the video.
Mm-hmm. Like I think you need reporting skill
on camera. There's sources, sauces. There's sauces. There's okay. I'm actually like writing this out now. So there's podcast writing on camera, sauces.
I think style in clothing should be one too. Because
what
is your attire of choice when you go cover a game?
I wear like a button shirt with some pants. It's not right.
No blazer.
No, God, no. Okay. So yeah, so there's blogger style. That's mm-hmm. one as well. There's your Springsteen rating, which is how much you like Bruce Springsteen. there's your take heat.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I agree
so
with that.
Let's go through this now and rate ourselves. This okay. is absolutely going to be the video that gets made for this podcast.
So we went from lame NBA players to lame bloggers making up a video game for themselves. I think that is a great encompassing moment for this show.
Okay, so let's start with you. Start with Mitch. So your podcast rating out of 100?
Probably like a 65 to a 70.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, your segues are fantastic. So that
rest,
boosts up your podcast rating.
Is muck, but you know what? It that's what matters.
What would you give yourself for writing?
I haven't written anything in a very long time.
Oh, so your skills are degrading as we see. You get the little minus.
Now I only write for broadcast and for features now. So I haven't really written anything to be read in a while.
Mm, okay. Yeah. So are we saying like a
55 or a 60?
55, but in brackets, we got like the little the red arrow going down, like
mm-hmm.
-4.
Yeah,
or
definitely
whatever.
Trending downwards.
Yeah, okay, so -4 since the start. So on camera, I mean, this is your bread.
I'm gonna give myself like an 85 on that.
Yeah, you're pretty good on camera. Your sauces, I mean, you're pretty interconnected with the CUSN.
Now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I know the Canadian basketball community. I now have a couple NCAA connections after my recent trip. So give me like a 70 on that.
Okay, 70 for sauces. The heat of your takes.
Oh, that's I can get up to 100 if need be.
Oh, okay, so I'm just gonna put a little fire emoji.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Your take heat. Okay, your blogger style.
I think I dress pretty well. I mean, the animation, if that's what it's gonna be, I'm in a shirt and tie. So.
Well, so if you dress well, then your blogger style is actually pretty low.
Oh, true, right? Yeah. Because it's in reverse. Yeah, it's sort of like
I'll give you a 12 for blogger style. And then your Springsteen rating. How much do you like Bruce Springsteen?
I've listened to maybe one Bruce Springsteen song in my entire life. So
okay, so
zero.
We'll give you a 0 as well. Mm-hmm. So overall, as a blogger, I don't know how to.
I don't think I classify well as a blogger. If it was a broadcaster game, then I might be a little higher.
But. Well, then you have to add to your skills as a blogger. Podcast, I'm going to give myself like an 85. I think.
Yeah, that's fair.
Writing. Probably like a 75, I think.
Okay.
I don't know. This is fair. On camera, I'm going to go, I mean, I do really dumb Facebook Lives. I'll go about a 50 for that.
Yeah, I was going to say it better be pretty low.
Yeah. Sauces, I have none. I'm going to go a 5.
Okay.
I have a number of a couple of players. That's it.
Nothing big. I just have a couple players.
Like old
text
players,
on the reg.
Old
yeah.
players who don't play anymore. It was from my time as a producer of radio. So I guess I can bump
myself
a little.
You're just dropping
bit.
Humble brags all over the show.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll give myself like a 12, like a 15 for sauces.
Okay.
The heat of my takes, I mean, that's where I really struggle, I think.
Yeah,
you're
pretty
more
measured and calculated a lot of the time. So I think
like
that would have to be pretty
like
low.
Like a 30 perhaps?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I mean, my Terrence Ross takes kind of bump up my overall take heat, but
it's just a man crush. I think that's you rate that differently.
My blogger style has to be a 99.
You're the definition of blogger style, you know.
And my Springsteen, the only Springsteen song I can name, I think two Springsteen songs, and one of them is Santa Claus is Coming to Town. So
are we
also
sure Bruce Springsteen is the go-to music choice of bloggers?
100%.
What are these bloggers doing? This is why NBA players hate the media, because they listen to Bruce Springsteen.
Okay, so I'm going to add up all these scores here to come across an aggregate score, because I guess they're all weighted equally, right? Like you have to.
I don't quite know how the 2K ratings work. I think it's like awareness is the one that really describes your overall, but I don't know what we'd use as awareness for blogging.
Right. So if we aggregate this all, my blogger score is a 50.57.
Wow, that's terrible.
That's all of the categories divided by the number of points I compiled.
You are definitely a work in progress at 50 and a half.
Well, I'm not sure. We like to see sort of what the grading system is, because I feel like no one's coming in as like a great blogger, right? Like everyone's kind of starting pretty low.
Right.
You got the heat. I think you're going to beat me here.
That's shocking.
Although your style is
the style's really going to
severely
set me back.
Lacking.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Da, 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 da. You're at a 55.2. So
okay. Well, we're both kind of – we're on the way.
Yeah. So we've established here that we are easily the lamest people that have been discussing this podcast by going through this entire ordeal to create this dumb video game. But Watch out for Blogger 2K19 coming out to a store near you, I suppose.
Sign us up, Take Two Sports.
Available on Switch.
And on Slack.
Yes.
The choice of bloggers everywhere.
Well, Switch is the video game console.
Wait, Switch is a console? Well, I feel
old. It's the new Nintendo,
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm out. I'm old.
Yeah.
I don't know what a Switch is.
Well, I think we've exhausted
this
podcast.
That was a pretty great way to close the podcast, to be totally honest. What can people look out for from you this week?
Okay, well, there's Locked On Raptors. That's a daily podcast where I talk about the Raptors. There's one game this week, so...
They only have one game this... Is it the Wednesday night?
Yeah, I mean, I think they play on the weekend, too, but that's okay. So far in advance. They play Wednesday against Charlotte. I'm not even going to be covering that one because I'll be at TFC, so I'll have to watch one afterwards. Locked On Raptors. You can check out lockedonraptors.com. I'll have some stuff written there. I was supposed to write a column after every time the Raptors lose. I might do one for the Indiana game today. I didn't have a chance yesterday. I might not. We'll see.
Are you too heartbroken to?
No, I just time is escaping me sometimes. So
time is a flat circle. Kyrie Irving, 2K17.
Fuck off.
Well, that's great. I'm sure the people will be ready to read and excited.
Yeah. If not, I'll have some other stuff. I'm sure I'll do a mailbag or something like that. I did a mailbag last week. If you want to check it out, I did a exhaustive Raptors arm wrestling challenge tournament bracket. Someone asked the question. I put way too much time and thought into it, but congrats to CJ Miles. Spoiler alert.
Interesting.
Yeah, you can check it out. It's like the first question answered in the mailbag from this week. If you want to look at that, LockedOnRaptors.com is everything that I do pretty much.
Awesome, and I will plug myself saying watch out on the TSN and BioSteel social channels for the first episode of Kia Nurse's Final Quarter coming out later on this week, if not early next week.
It's going to be on TSN?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
TSN
congrats.
And BioSteel, my friend.
Wow. Okay, your appearance on TSN knocks down your blogger rating, I think, a little bit.
It's big
level.
Time. It's not CP24. I'm not personally in the features, so can we at least give me some brownie points for that?
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, the thing about being a blogger is you have to be self-aggrandizing, right? So that might hurt your score as well. we haven't fleshed out all the attributes that you're gonna have for this game. I don't think we have to think about it a little bit more. But yeah.
Well, you know what, folks? We're going to take this offline. We'll figure it out, and we'll be back next week for more basketball talk here on the Hoop Talks podcast. Thanks for listening.
Well, that was certainly a podcast. Yeah. Can you edit and post it? Okay. Because I got to get going. So, all right. Thank you, sir.